Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York City, and I'm broadcasting tonight from my bright red desk on the Upper East Side of the Isle of Manhattan in the city of New York, the state of New York, in the country of the United States on planet Earth. And what we do here every week is we talk to you about the weather ahead, what you can anticipate in the week ahead, and why, and what it's going to look like, and how it works. And so our job is to kind of do, okay, where are we, what are we doing, where are we going, and how do we get there? And hopefully this helps a little bit with your navigation. Now I got to tell you, big stuff this week. We have an eclipse, and it's a whopper of an eclipse, and I'm doing in about an hour show after the show, half an hour after the show, I'm doing a webinar on the eclipse and what you can anticipate in your chart and how it works. And it also teaching you how to work with this new moon energy, because eclipses are new moons. So what they do is they initiate, they begin, they start, they push, they pulse, they invite us to create. So we're at a powerful moment of creation. And I just had Alex arrive, and I have Jody here from Santa Fe. And who am I shouting out to in Santa Fe? Nate and Connie? Nick and Connie in England. Okay, Jody's saying Nick and Connie, she's here at the Bright Red Desk, and she wants to say hello. She was just in town to take a workshop that we did down in New Manhattan, teaching people on how to unwrap the chart. And so anyway, we're having dinner here, Chinese food, and then we're going to have the podcast, and then we're going to have the webinar. We also have Alexandria, who is here from New Orleans. So my living room has people in it, which doesn't normally happen during the radio show, but, you know, that's what happens sometimes. So what we're going to do this week with this lovely, juicy, juicy eclipse is we're going to begin a major new life story. I want you to think back to the spring of 1997 and the spring of 1978. Go back in 19-year chunks in the spring, and there was a journey you began then. And that journey is about to have a whole new chapter. And so we're at a precipice of new beginnings. Now, the eclipse is taking place at 18 degrees of Pisces Virgo, and interestingly, it is the eclipse of presidential assassinations and, of course, presidential things. And so earlier today, Nancy Reagan died, and she said bye-bye. And that 18-degree Virgo is a very hot spot. It was 9/11. It was when the Pentagon's first brick was laid. It's when presidents get killed or first ladies die. So the eclipse is active, and it's releasing. It's a big releasing eclipse. It's saying, let go, let go. You can let go of this. And then it's inviting you to head off to the north node of Virgo and to go into that new direction and to give yourself permission to do the work, Virgo, of creating Jupiter, expanding, blessing, abundance, what your path is, according to your fate. Now, what eclipses do is when the planets, the sun and the moon align, which happens twice a year, on the nodes of destiny, they either invite us forward or they release us. So we're releasing, we're wrapping up the story from September, when we had the last one, September 13th, and we're moving forward now on the north node of Virgo. But this eclipse is in Pisces, so it's releasing, releasing. And interestingly, there is a pile of planets all at the same degree. So when that happens, we have a very potent energy system that's running in the sky above our heads, because all these planets are going to be weighing in during the eclipse. Now, it's going to be visible in the United States over Hawaii, and then it's kind of over, you know, the Pacific Ocean. So that's where the action is going to be taking place. And, of course, it is a south node releasing eclipse in the sign of the oceans. So we'll see what happens. Tsunamis, excitement, but a lot of letting go and a lot of saying, okay, that's done, that's finished. Now I want you to just sit and think about this. So draw a little sign, and if you have your natal chart, get your pencils ready. If you have your natal chart, the sun and the moon are at 18 Pisces. At 15 Scorpio is Juno, the planet of marriage and partnership. At 16, Sag is Saturn. At 17, Capricorn is Pluto. At 16, Aquarius is Pallas Athena. At 15, almost 16, Pisces is Ceres. At 20, Pisces is Chiron. At 21, Pisces is the South Node. At 18, Aries is Uranus. And then at 18, Virgo is Jupiter. And at 21, Virgo is the North Node. So look at all those planets. The only planets that are not involved in this are Mercury and Neptune, who are sitting in the corner drinking, and Venus and Aquarius, who's just not really in the mood to play. And Mars is just entered Sag, so he's kind of in a new sign, getting used to new energy. So all these planets are kind of pulsing. And if you have planets anywhere between 15 and 18 in your chart, 20, those planets are going to hook into this eclipse, which makes it big. And it's also going to land in your Pisces Virgo house. Now, I'm going to spend a lot more time on this, you know, how it lays out in each chart in the webinar ahead, which still has a couple of slots left if you want to sign up. And we'll also be selling it this week off the website. Because this is really probably one of the most major eclipses in many, many years, because it's just huge. But what it's also inviting us to do is to shift our lives and to release into the Pisces, into the ethers, to let go, let go, let go of whatever it is you don't need anymore or whatever you've karmically finished with. And sometimes you may say, I didn't really feel like I was finished. And it leaves anyway, and that's okay. And remember, there's a lot of water in the sky. So when there's this much water, aside from having ocean things go on, we often cry a lot, and eclipses are crying. But we're in eclipse season for another 5 weeks. So this is the releasing through the new moon on Tuesday, and then we go new moon to full, and the new which takes 2 weeks, and that eclipse is going to be in March it's the lunar eclipse. It's a full moon, and that's going to be on March 23rd, and then the 2 week release from that to the new moon, the next new moon, which is on April 7th. So we're in the eclipse season. Eclipses bring to light. The other thing that happens with eclipses is we feel pushed. We feel driven. We feel like we absolutely, positively have to do something now. And it's something that we didn't really handle well before. So it's also got an energy of kind of giant needs to just kind of express itself. But truth be told, this has been a festering story for a while. And now's when it takes action and it says, okay, now we really have to do something about this. So just kind of know that you're going to have a sense of urgency. And because all these planets are thrusting their energy, thrum, into this big pot and big kettle of stuff, including the nodes of fate, we're facing fated moments in time and space. So you're going to face a fated moment in your chart, or you're going to watch people around you. If you don't have planets at 15 to 20, you're cool. You're going to watch people around you. And we can do ascendant and descendant too, and midheaven and IC for points, not just planets. You're going to have people around you that are facing fated moments. Okay? So just know, big week. Expect a lot of emotional releases and some tears, but also an energy of deep and profound transformation and spirituality. A lot of times Pisces is set in spirituality. It is actually a big week for people to relapse on drugs and alcohol. So you want to be a little careful of those things. You know, don't pick up. You double down on your meetings if you need to go to them, because you can really feel like, oh my God, I'm so anxious, overwhelmed, depressed, whatever. Anybody you know that's feeling a little suicidal, call them. You know, talk to them. It's transit. It's temporary. But it's very intense, and it does feel pretty big. And if you're feeling like something's coming, that's what you're picking up, the eclipse. Because a lot of you who listen to this are a little psychic, right? And you're tuned into the heavens, and you go, I can feel it coming, Ann. I'm like, I know. I can feel it coming, too. All right, so let's talk a bit about the moons. Our moons this week are kind of fun. We always love the new moon. We have the new moon in Pisces, which happens right now. The moon is in Aquarius, and I'm having a party here at my house. I'm going to go eat my mushu shrimp in a couple minutes. 3:46, the moon goes void this morning, Monday morning, and then it enters Pisces at 2:08 tomorrow afternoon, and it goes void with a conjunction to Venus. So that's a very positive, happy energy. Then it's going to be in void all day in the morning, tomorrow morning, 2:08 Eastern time, enters Pisces. In Pisces, Monday afternoon, Monday night, goes void Tuesday night at 8:54 p.m. with the new moon. The new moon is the closing aspect, so it's a releasing energy on that new moon when it goes void, of course. Then it's void Tuesday night, and it's void Wednesday morning. Remember, this is an emotional week, so the universe is giving you extra time to process, to stay home with the covers over your head, to cry in your bathtub, to, you know, go for a swim, to go watch a museum, just maybe mellow out, because the moon's void quite a bit this week. Moon goes into Aries on Wednesday, at 2:40 in the afternoon. It's in Aries on Thursday, and it goes void at 1:24 with the sextile to Venus, so that's a nice ending. So the Pisces moon and the Aries moon both have good endings, nice sextile to Venus there. We're also going to have Mercury hit Neptune at 1 o'clock the 11th. So last week, the sun hit Neptune. This week, Mercury's hitting Neptune. So if you're feeling a little foggy or a little soggy, that's it, or a little forgetful, that's Neptune. It's very, you know, kind of take me away, Calgon, but without the bathtub. Moon goes into Taurus Friday afternoon at 2:44, and it's in Taurus Friday afternoon all day Saturday, and it goes void Sunday morning bright and early at 5:46 a.m. with a sextile to the sun. Again, a positive aspect. Earth and water make mud and grow things. And then it goes forward. It's void all day for 12 hours on Sunday the 13th. And that also is a daylight savings time begins. So remember, this is spring forward. We move the clocks forward an hour, fall back. We spring forward next week on Saturday night, the 12th, and then the closing aspect is positive. So all the closing aspects are positive this week. Pisces, the sign of releasing and letting go. Aries, the sign of new beginnings, initiation, starting things, and Taurus, the sign of planting things. Now, I did the new moon seminar, and then it enters Gemini on Sunday at 5:03, after a nice long void moon day all day the 13th. And the Gemini closing aspect is a sun square the moon. So that's a little crabbier. But that's okay. You know, sun is in Gemini, moon is in Pisces. You know, they don't always get along. And it's going to be like, you know, you're going to have had your week of emotion. And the universe is going to say, okay, snap out of it. You know, it's going to be like Sharon Moonstruck, where she whacks the guy in the face. Snap out of it. But that's not till next Sunday night. This next week, big feeling energy. And our job is just to be kind, you know. I keep watching these Republican debates and going, I don't even watch them, I just watch the news clips. We're not kind. And it would really make a lot of help this next week if we were kind to each other. So just kind of maybe be a little kinder, a little nicer, a little, you know, put money in somebody's expired meter. Give the guy in the street $2 instead of 50 cents. You know, help the little old lady cross the street. You know, that kind of thing. Be a good Girl Scout or Boy Scout. Be kind, because this is a hard week. And we are going to feel a lot of very, very profound emotions. So, and of course, Godspeed to Nancy Reagan, who has passed today at the age of 94, who was a believer in astrology, and that's why Ronnie did so well, actually, because they asked what Joan Quigley would say, and she said, this is what you should do. We do know those closing aspects are really important for starting things. So our job with this is to say forward, and it is presidential death degree and obviously president's wife death degree because we lost Nancy today. So this week, in addition to these energies that are going on, this lovely big old eclipse, we have Venus going into Pisces on Saturday the 12th. And she's going to be in Pisces through April 6th. So that's a big part of her story. And then Saturn gets to the degree of his station, because he's going to be stationing to go retrograde. He gets to the degree of his station at the end of the week. So we're going to start feeling kind of the energy of Saturn slowing down as we move forward through this. And, of course, last week Mars went into Sag, which shifted his energy from being Scorpionic into being a little bit perhaps more boastful, or a little bit more answering to Jupiter and Virgo, a little more details than you really want to know about, because Mars is answering to Virgo. And our job is to go, yeah, Mars answering to Jupiter and Virgo in Sag, maybe that's too much information, thanks. I don't know that I want to know it. And it's totally appropriate to say to somebody, hey, you got to stop. please stop. Because Saturn is squaring the nodes of fate, so he is asking us to make a choice. He's asking us to pick how we want to move, how we want to proceed, what we want to do, where we want to go. So it's a lot of energy this week around that kind of stuff. And the moons are in very personal signs. Pisces, which is the sign of our dreams and our hopes and our wishes. And Aries, which is the sign of our competency and our take charge and go get it done. And Taurus, which is the sign of our planting. And I had a lovely story earlier this week from someone writing and saying that they had grown some sunflower seeds on the new moon. They'd grown them in the ritual. The seeds had all sprouted. And then she had a panic moment because she thought, oh my God, I can't, it's not going to be, they're not going to make it till the outside when I can plant them outside. And she realized, hey, I could eat the sunflower seeds. So they're growing inside of her. So we're all growing a new adventure. We're all growing a new start. And she ate those sunflower seeds and she said, yes, yes, I'm beginning a new adventure. So forward we go with this new adventure. So the sun this week goes from Pisces 17 to 22 Pisces. And as the sun moves along, he's going to oppose Jupiter on the 8th on Tuesday. And, of course, that's, of course, our eclipse day. So the sun opposes Jupiter, and he says, okay, that's done. Now, this happens once a year. You know, this is not a huge aspect. But it is a huge aspect when it's bundled in with an eclipse, because then it gives us a whole different feeling of the sun opposite Jupiter. It feels a little more permanent. It feels a little more like a long goodbye. Then the sun is also going to be semi-sextile Uranus. So that's going to be Uranus in the blind spot of the sun. So it's not going to see something coming. That also happens on March 8th. And remember, this is one of those planets that's in relationship to the eclipse. Uranus is 18, the eclipse is 18. So when the two of them kind of hang out together and suddenly the sun's got a blind spot, you know, he doesn't see something, that's important. Then we have the eclipse. Then we have the sun linking up with Chiron on the 10th, on Thursday. Chiron's where our wound is. And Chiron's in Pisces, so he's really making us aware of the wound. And where we're maybe feeling a little bit like a motherless child or a little orphaned. And remember, Pisces, of course, is deeply emotional, deeply feeling. This is the tears day. You know, if we're going to have a big tear day, it's probably going to be the 11th, the 10th and the 11th, when the sun hits Chiron. And then the sun dives into the south node of fate on the 11th and releases. So even though the eclipse takes place on March 8th, the release of the sun into the south node takes place on March 11th. So we've got a whole big run here. And the sun also makes an aspect of declination to the nodes, which is actually what an eclipse is. So that's not particularly bad, but it is, again, a declination of union with the release. And then the sun has a aspect to the blind spot of envy and jealousy on Saturday. So we got a lot of interesting energy with the ego this week. Blind spotted twice, releasing into the nodes, saying goodbye, farewell, don't want it, and also beginning a new cycle of healing. So a busy week. And he does have his opposition to Jupiter, which can make him feel a bit bereft because he's feeling like he has to leave abundance behind. Not forever, people. These are transits. They're temporary. They're partial. They are in process. They are important, but you're not done. You know, you got lots more living to do. Mercury is at 3 Pisces going to 14 Pisces. Now, he's moving pretty fast. He's in Pisces for only a couple of weeks. This is one of the weeks. And he went into it last week. And when he's in Pisces, of course, he's more emotional. Like you need more emotion, right? And he's got a semi-square to Uranus on the 7th. So that's a little frustrating. He's kind of like irritated. And then he's got an aspect to Black Moon Lilith at 6:59 a.m. On the 9th. So watch out for those women that are mad at you. Black Moon Lilith, when she's irritated, she can be pretty mean. And then Mercury joins up with Neptune on the 11th, and he says, okay, this is the feelings. And I do find on weeks like this, it's very helpful. I have a little bunch of cry movies that I can watch them and they make me cry. They can be cry commercials. They're little kids playing with kittens, things like that. So you're going to maybe find you need a good cry this week and just honor that space. of deep emotion. Mercury also has a trine to Poseidon. Poseidon is the ocean on the 12th. And he also has a parallel to Neptune on the 12th. Now, when we had this before, this was the tsunami in, we're not having earthquake energy, so I don't know. We are having an eclipse energy, so that's pretty big. But this was the tsunami in Indonesia, in Taiwan, the one that was at Christmas time on Boxing Day. And it was a pretty big one, and it was similar aspects with declinations and with aspects. So hopefully there won't be one, but it is a eclipse of deep, profound feeling. The 13th, we're going to have Mercury trine Juno in the partnership, and we're also going to see where we can't go home again because it's going to be contraparallel to Vesta. And sometimes there's a sense. I've noticed a lot of people are reporting having meetings with groups of people that they used to hang out with or they used to do stuff with or they did a project with. And it's kind of like a farewell meeting. And everybody's getting ready to say goodbye. So in my case, I got my Bonaventure reunion. And one of the guys on the Weeble floor, Paul Giannotti, who was my partner in Rat Lab when I was in college, which was a whole other story, we were partners in Rat Lab, and he is holding a roadkill barbecue. So everybody's jumping in what they're bringing to the roadkill barbecue before we go to our 40th college reunion. So it's the reunions, the connections, even though it is Mercury not retrograde. With the eclipses, they bring up the memories of the deep past, the memories, the thoughts, the feelings, and they invite us to immerse ourselves in them because they make us feel. They make us feel. And, of course, they do make us feel. So Venus, of course, is pretty quiet this week, which is nice. She's going from 24 Aquarius to 2 Pisces. She enters Pisces, the sign of her exaltation, which she likes. And she has a quintile to Saturn on the 10th, which is a good aspect for deal-making. Now, sometimes people go, you know, Anne, it's an eclipse. I don't know if I should do anything on an eclipse. It's a new moon, but it's an eclipse. The whole thing with eclipses is they have an extra energy, an extra boost of energy. So it is a new moon. I don't want you to miss it. But I also want you to know it's potent, very potent. And the Venus quintile Saturn kind of adds to that story because the eclipse invites us to move forward. And then Venus squares Admetos on the 10th, also asking us to say, well, that's finished. So there's a working collaboratively, but then a letting go. She goes into Pisces on March 12th at 5:23 in the morning. And then she very quickly after that aspect Ceres and aspects Apollon. Apollon is a planet of the tribe, so we find our new tribe. And she's got an abundance component to her when Venus aspects Apollon. She also is in a semi-square to Pluto on March 13th, and that's late at night. So that can be, you know how you come home and you've been out all weekend and you've been running around and you come home and you sit in your chair and you're like, I'm just really tired. So I anticipate next Sunday when that Venus is semi-square to Pluto, everybody's just going to be like, I'm sitting in my chair and I'm just really tired. And it's like, okay, that's all right. You're supposed to be really tired. It's a good thing. We also have Mars quiet this week, which is nice. He's got a semi-square with Pluto on the 11th at 2:17. So he does kind of weigh in, even though he's in the early degrees of Sag, because he's semi-squaring some of the eclipse planets. But he's not doing a whole lot else. And he's in Sag, which makes him a little optimistic. And he's answering to Jupiter in Virgo. So he's got a list of stuff he's got to be doing. And he might not be available to cause trouble. Or he might be very thin-skinned because he's not going to be a little prone to criticism. So take a breath before you criticize people this week because everybody's just going to be like, whoa, that was mean. And you may not mean it, but you're going to come across with it maybe a little harsher than you meant. Jupiter contraparallel Juno, a lot of energy. And Jupiter's running 17, basically parked at 17. 1753 to 1733, going backwards. But he is contraparallel Juno on the 10th, which is often an end of relationships or a revisiting of the structure of relationships. Remember, with the South Node, he can go, well, that's over. And then when he's opposite, Juno, it's like, okay, you're done. the relationship's finished. There's nothing to continue. And I remember when Ken Lay supposedly died with the Enron thing, he died the night before he was supposed to give up all the money and go to jail. And I thought, well, that's a really good time to go, because once you die, the court case is over, right? So this week, you know, they'll be letting go and releasing with Jupiter contraparallel Juno. And, of course, he's got an inconjunct Pallas Athena on the 13th, which is a health aspect. Do take eclipses and health matters seriously. This north node is in Virgo. Virgo is one of the health planets, one of the health signs. Doesn't necessarily have to be a health planet for this eclipse to manifest. And very often on eclipses, we do find we get a cold or a snuffles, or we're really feeling kind of poorly and we need to stay home in our bed. And that's all totally part of the eclipse feeling of releasing. And then Jupiter is in conjunct Pallas Athena, which asks us to look at patterns in a new way. Opposite series, saying it's time to change the traditional ways you've nurtured yourself. And sesquiquadrate to Vesta, changes in around the home and hearth, and saying, okay, what do I need to do? Saturn busy this week, getting close to squaring the nodes of destiny, not quite doing it yet, but within orb, which means that when you're in this moment of choice, there's a recognition that there's a choice being made. And you are in a position of choosing. And you're coming from your Saturn in Sag house, Sagittarius house, which is saying to you, you have to choose now. So being comfortable with choosing, and there was sometimes you don't want to, you know, and that's okay too. You don't have to, but you might feel really pushed to choose, or you might get pushed and you push back, right? And so you want to kind of just be aware of the impact of the choice and the impact of your actions. A lot of times when Saturn squares the nodes, you get to a point where you go, you know, I just couldn't take it anymore. I had to make her stop. I had to make him stop. So that happened, you know, I was teaching a workshop this weekend, and one of the women came up to me and said, I had to make her stop. I'm like, okay, because I was hoping, thinking there was going to be a lot more sparks and fireworks than there were, but it wasn't, you know, everybody was pretty well behaved, you know, but that sense of, I can't listen to this anymore. You have to stop now. That's part of this energy, okay? And Saturn square Ceres, especially when people are trying to tell you stuff for your own good. You know what's for your own good. If you're not taking personal responsibility, you're going to have the consequences of it. At the same time, people that are telling you to change, or you're saying to them, you know, you have to change, they don't have to change, nor do they maybe want to. And so we can really meet the Donnybrook where, you know, one door slams, the other door slams, and then neither one of you pick up the phone, and then the relationship's over. So be conscious of that. Maybe you want it to be over, but maybe you don't. So you can always reach out and or not have that door slamming story. Pluto, 17 cap, and he is busy talking to Pallas Athena on March 11th, and he's busy talking to Ceres on March 12th. And in both cases, he's helping them get to the new place. Vesta enters Taurus on March 7th, which is a great time for beatification of your home, beautifying your body, cleaning up your office, fresh cone of paint, new chair, fun things like that. Pallas Athena also aspects the nodes of fate on March 7th, so there's an invitation or some kind of proposal. She's on the world axis squaring Juno. So the two of them are really kind of hanging out and partying, for lack of a better word, in the sky and enjoying each other. And then Juno is trine Ceres, giving him, or Juno giving Ceres, both of them women, I shouldn't say him, Juno trine Ceres, giving Ceres, partnerships give Ceres some new creative idea. So kind of watch for people giving you ideas that are creative, that you're inspired by. And on that note, the British lady said the weekly weather is over. And off I go. Got a webinar in half an hour. If you signed up, tune in. If you're not, it's still time. And if you don't have time right now, it'll be available for sale on my website sometime tomorrow when Rose figures out how to do it. So that's it. Have a great week. See you on the other side of this very, very powerful eclipse. Take care and blessings and love. And I would encourage you. I've been doing it myself. I've been calling people I love and telling them I love them. I called my therapist, who I stopped seeing as a therapist a while back, and I called. I just said, you know, I just wanted to call and tell you I loved you. She's like, well, thanks. So call the people that you love and tell them you love them. Or they thank you, thank them for their help. Because you never know. You never know. The eclipses are coming. The eclipses are coming. Take care. Talk to you next week.